Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place of anything related to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, your host, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today, we bring another special guest. His name is Isaac Gross, and he's the founder and CEO of EG PPC, which is one of the top agencies in the space when it comes to PPC. This guy knows his stuff. I met him in Miami, and we actually have a very insightful conversation. And that's why I wanted to bring Isaac today to the show, because I know he has some nice tricks, which specifically today, I'm going to talk about, you know, what are some of the latest things you can do when it comes to using PPC for launching products on Amazon. So, Isaac, it's a pleasure to have you on board, bro. How are you doing?
I'm great, Vincenzo. It's a real pleasure to be here. I've seen your content for a while. We'll probably interact a lot online, but we just met Miami for the first time, so that was great in person. And I'm really excited to be here on the podcast and, you know, having a good conversation.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. So awesome. As I do with every episode, you know, I think something that would be very interesting to take a few minutes is to learn more about Isaac, how you got started in the Amazon space, how you founded your amazing agency. So yeah, tell us a little bit about the backstory. Yeah,
sure. I'll give you the full backstory. I'll try to make it quick. So I got introduced to Amazon around 2014, 2015, I don't remember the exact timeline when it comes to these 2 years. I hated a friend that started on Amazon. That was the gold rush, like the whole Amazon private label FBA business model started then. Mm-hmm. I then met with that friend, you know, I got to learn what he's doing, show me Alibaba, you bring in a product, you know, from China, then you see if it's, I think Jungle Scout wasn't even around. So I think you didn't even, like, it didn't have all these cool extensions where you can see, is that a good product, a good opportunity? Anyway, long story short is we brought in a product from Alibaba. We bought it for between $1 and $1.50. It was a pretty cheap product. Yeah. We sold it for $20. Now, I just listed it on Amazon. Nothing fancy, nothing cool. Main image, you know. Then that was around 2 weeks before the first Prime Day, okay?
Okay.
Then Prime Day came along. And I think we sold 14 units on that Prime Day. I was like, whoa, 14 units, we're making...
There's something here.
Yeah, we're making $11 profit per unit. You know, as you say, there's something there. So that's when I sort of, like, I did it more as a, I would say, you know, to get my feet wet in the business world. Like, I wasn't really very serious about it. So that's when I started diving into it more. I started listening to podcasts, to different YouTube videos, and I still do. So until today, like I still listen to a lot of content just to make sure that I'm current and up to date. So nice. I listened to a lot of YouTube videos, podcasts, Ryan Moran, if you remember, like he was one of the OGs when it comes to the space.
Yeah.
Scott Walker, you know, these people.
Yeah, the godfathers.
Yeah, exactly. The godfathers of the Amazon private label world. And that's when we started, really diving deep into it. I did this for a few years. Again, just a few hours a day that I actually work, maybe even some like many weeks, less than an hour a day. And we made nice money. My wife was still working. Like that wasn't really my what I did for a living. Then we brought in a new product line. Like we thought of some idea of making a line of duffel bags and backpacks. Mm-hmm. Long story short, we lost a few $100,000 on that. And at that time, we were like, okay, like, what am I doing next? Am I either starting a new brand? Like, I didn't actually think about opening an agency. But I used to be very active in different masterminds, different groups. And I had, like, in 1 week, like, a few people came over to me, like, two people. And they said, you know, we tried five different agencies for PPC. We don't see the results. You know what you're doing. Do me a favor, manage PPC. And I really did it as a favor. Like, I didn't even take I took a little bit of money, but it wasn't something that I really thought about doing for a living. And after 2 weeks after starting managing these accounts, I saw, whoa, like we did something, you know, that nobody else has done. Like we increased our sales, ACOS was good. And what I realized then is that there are many agencies, but the way how they can take on more accounts is they either have VAs, you know, in the Philippines, different countries, where everybody follows a certain SOP, and they don't give a real VIP white glove service to their clients. So I saw the need for a more, let's call it like a white glove agency, where you have US-based people, you know, senior account managers that actually manage accounts. And long story short, that's when we founded the agency. That was around 2019. And right off the bat, the vision was to work with more established brands, larger brands, and have a senior team in-house in the office and give a service that second to none. And long story short, we managed today over $2 billion in annual sales, and we work with many 7 to 9 figure Amazon brands. And that's still our vision. We have an in-house team that every account has a dedicated account manager. That's again, in-house, a senior account manager that really gets to know you, gets to know your products, competitors, and really manages the PPC very hands-on. That's in a nutshell the story.
Love it. What a story. And actually, I can resemble in part of the stories as well, because the same thing happened to me. Like I jumped into the space by mistake, and then by going to events and people seeing what I was doing with my products and then asking for help, that's where the agency idea came to fruition. So it's so nice to see the overlap there. And you know, at the end of the day, that's the beauty of this space. Like you can make money out of so many ways, like a seller, service provider, consulting, you know, even everything that we saw with the aggregator space, like helping people exit, like do so many verticals, and that's the beauty.
Right. Exactly. Now, okay, go on.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, it's all about adapting. You know, I think we have made so many sellers that maybe even personally have met some sellers that they didn't succeed as seller, but now they're some of the top consultants in the space. So it's all about, you know, building on your strengths, you know, so important.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, most of the softwares, I mean, Helium 10, right?
Exactly.
Came out of a, you know, seller had a need, and that's what Helium 10 came out of.
Yeah.
Struggle Scott, I don't know, but I think most of the softwares came out of actually sellers having a pain point and they needed to figure it out for themselves, and then they offer it as a service.
Exactly. Now, let's jump into PPC, which I'm sure is what all our listeners and the ones watching are very keen to learn about. So, you know, 2024 is basically, and we are seeing that, like, it's going to be a tough year for e-commerce. We're seeing fees going up, competition is more fierce than ever economically, worldwide things are not as they should be. And that's where, you know, I feel PPC is more important than ever, because, you know, small changes are going to have an incremental impact because of, you know, you pretty much most people rely now on PPC when it comes to traffic within Amazon, right? Now, saying that, I feel like a lot of people still struggle to understand what is the right strategy when it comes to launching a product on Amazon and using PPC as part of the formula. Sometimes I'm amazed, and maybe you find the same, where people think in 2024, they can get ahead, launch a product without PPC, right? So tell me a little bit about, you know, what do you think are some of the key elements you have to consider when launching a product with PPC? Like, what are some of the foundational pillars that they must be there to be a successful launcher?
Okay, great question. So first, let's take a step back, right? PPC is basically traffic to your listing, right? We want to get targeted traffic. But before we have traffic to a listing, we need to have a good listing where we send the traffic to, right? We need to be, we want the traffic that we're going to send to the listing to be able to convert, right? So what is, how do you launch a product on Amazon? Of course, that starts with bringing in a good product, right? Bringing in a product that there's a demand for, and bringing in a product that you can compete with the market, right? You have to make sure many sellers I see fall into a few different traps. So one trap is they bring in a unique product that nobody else sells. And I think, wow, that's a great opportunity because nobody else sells it, right? But you have to be aware that Amazon is a platform where you need to serve a product to the need that somebody else searches for, okay? Amazon is not the right platform to introduce a new product. So if you have a new type of gadget that nobody's searching for, that's more of a TikTok product, Facebook. Exactly. That's not the type of product you want to start selling on Amazon. Again, unless you're driving outside traffic to TikTok and Facebook, right? So when you sell a product on Amazon, you want to make sure there's demand, people searching for it. You also want to make sure that it's not too of a saturated market. If it's very saturated and the average selling price that the product sells for is a price that if you sell that for that price, you won't be able to make any profit, don't bring in that product, okay?
Exactly.
You need to bring in a product that if you're going to sell it at the market price, you'll make money, you'll make profit. So now once you have the product, the number one thing is to make sure that you have a beautiful listing, okay? What I see with the most successful sellers is that they have a killer main image. They're obsessed with the main image. So use tools like PicFu and TelV to make sure to split test your main image to have the best main image possible. Exactly. Now, of course, you need to have good title bullet points. And again, the image is for the customer to make sure that it converts well. The title bullet points is number one for the customer, but even more importantly, it's for the Amazon algorithm, right? You want to explain to the Amazon machine, the Amazon algorithm, the Amazon brain, what is this product that I'm selling? And Amazon takes the main information from the title, bullet points, back in keywords, and in the subcategory that you're in. So number one, make sure to have, again, beautiful images, title, well-optimized title, bullet points with the right keywords. And we'll get to how we choose keywords and make sure that it's in the right browsing node in the right subcategory, okay? So now that we have a listing that we hope it will convert. Now, there's one very important factor, okay? When you launch a product, even if you have a nice listing, the nice title, the nice bullet points, usually the competitors also have a nice listing, right? Maybe yours is a little bit nicer, but they have thousands of reviews. You want to come in with no reviews, okay? So you want to make sure to incentivize customers that when they search a product, they will buy your product, which has no reviews or little reviews, versus competitors that have a lot of reviews, right? So what is the main lever you can pull in order to have a great conversion rate right off the bat? That is price. You need to make sure that you have a better price than your competitor. So let's say I have a pen on my hand. So let's say you want to sell a pen, right? Let's say the market price for a pack of 100 is $10. Yeah. You try to come in at $8. In the beginning, you need to break even or even lose money on price in order to get your orders, to get the traction, to get the momentum. Yeah. Again, because think about yourself as a customer, right? You're searching for a pen. You see a lot of those things that have hundreds of reviews, thousands of reviews, tens of thousands of reviews. Let me see one listing that has, again, either no reviews or a few reviews, right? Why should you buy that listing? It's a little bit nicer, the image, okay, but that's usually not enough reason to convince many people to buy your listing. But if they say, oh, look, this product's cheaper than all the others, they're like, you're not. Amazon offers free returns. Let me take the risk. Let me buy this product. It's cheaper. Let me buy it and let me see if it's, you know, if it's not good, worst case, I'll return it. And that's one of the most important factors of launching a product. You need to have, in the honeymoon phase, you need to show Amazon that this product will convert well. You want to make sure that you have a great conversion rate with a cheap price, cheaper than the competitor, okay? Now that you have a listing that is main image, one optimized title, bullet points, a good price, here's where the PPC comes in, okay? So the first thing is you'll do keyword research, right? So let's talk about keyword research for a minute. I'm a big fan of using first-party data, which means using Helium 10 Product Opportunity Explorer for keyword research, okay? So Brand Analytics. So Helium 10
Analytics.
Right. Helium 10 is a great tool. We also use it sometimes, but the main tools that we usually use is Brand Analytics.
Data coming from Amazon, straight from
Amazon. Exactly. Yeah. Data coming from Amazon itself. Now, don't get me wrong, Helium 10 is a great tool, and it has its use cases. But if you can get enough data from Brand Analytics, stick with that. Now, so the number one thing you do is you identify your main competitors. So let's say you're selling a pen. You want to see who are my main competitors, okay? You take these ASINs and you do a reverse ASIN. You basically put these ASINs into Brand Analytics, and Amazon will tell you what are the main keywords that drive at least clicks and sales to these products, okay? So Amazon tells you all the keywords that this product is the top three clicked, is the top three clicked ASIN for, okay? So now you have all those keywords. So the way how we like to break it down is you want to have your main keywords. So usually, by also main keyword is considered anything that has a search frequency length of less than 100,000, okay?
Okay.
We want to make sure that we go very aggressive on your top keywords.
Yeah.
For most Amazon products, 80% or 70% of your sales will come from the top 10 to 15 keywords. Yeah. And these are the keywords that if you rank them on the first page, you'll have sales. And if you don't rank on those keywords, you won't have sales. Okay.
That's actually a good point, because I feel the huge mistake people do, and I bet you have seen this all the time, they launch the product and they have 300 keywords, like they target every single thing that Helium 10 brand analytics throw at them. And the reality is that we know, like, but, you know, 80% come from a bunch of keywords, right, as you say, 10, 20 keywords. So I guess, I'm sorry for actually interrupting, I just want to make that point. I guess what is also very important is the relevancy of these keywords, right? It's not only the search volume, right? How related is to your features and everything. Yeah.
Exactly, and we'll get to that. So that's a great point. So I want to get back to that. Like you mentioned, all the 300 keywords. So we usually also advertise on all the long tail keywords. But the top keywords is where we put them into what we call a ranking campaign, okay? So let's say we identify the top 10 keywords. We'll put them into an exact campaign, only, and we'll increase the top of search placement by 100% or sometimes more, right?
Yeah.
How do you rank organically on a keyword, right? What's the simple logic? If Amazon sees that you convert well through PPC on a certain keyword, so let's say somebody's putting in ball pens, they click on your listing, you have a conversion rate of 10%, Amazon sees, oh, look at this, there's a new listing, they have a conversion rate of 10%, 50%, let's assume that's a good conversion rate for that market. Amazon will see, okay, if they convert well through PPC, let me start bringing them up organically, right? So you wanna make sure that you have the best conversion rate possible for those keywords. Now, top of search has proven to usually have a 2 or 3 times as good of a conversion rate than the other placement. So you wanna make sure that you win as much top of search as you can, right? Even if your ACoS will be high, because the cost per click is usually higher on top of search. So we, in the ranking campaign, we won't care anything about ACoS. We only care about conversion. We wanna make sure you have your main keywords show up on top of search. So that's why we take these top keywords and we put them into a separate campaign, exact only, because we wanna get as many clicks and orders possible for those keywords.
Nice. Okay? Actually, a question on this campaign, because I'm sure people are gonna ask these two specific questions. How long usually you run this campaign for? And I'm sure they're also gonna ask this within the campaign itself. Do you recommend using any kind of bidding, like down only, up and down, fixed? What do you recommend?
Okay, great question. So first of all, on how long we should run this campaign, it's a great question. We'll come to that, which basically the question is, how long is considered the launch phase, right? When can we go out of the launch phase? And we'll get to that question. But to your second question, some people start do fixed bids when they start out. We usually go with dynamic bids down only. We start with that and we increase top of search. If we have any issue with getting impressions, we might change the bidding strategy. But we always start with dynamic bids down only, and we increase top of search, and we usually don't have any problem getting the impressions and the clicks that we
want. Good.
Okay.
And in this one as well, do you recommend doing segmentation? Like, because I'm sure you also hear this all the time. Like, people say you shouldn't put more than 3-5 keywords per campaign. You should segment it by search volume. Like, what is your take on that as well?
Okay, great question. So again, so first, for these ranking keywords, we usually put 5 to 10 keywords on one campaign. And then if we have any issues, for example, we see one keyword really taking
dominating,
spending, right? Or the opposite. We have a certain keyword that doesn't get any impressions. We want to put it into a separate campaign. That's when we'll do a single keyword campaign. But usually we'll put up to, again, 10, 10 keywords, even sometimes 15 keywords. But if we see any issues with that, then we'll take it out and we'll segment it into a separate campaign. Now, to your previous point before, that your main keywords, you want to make sure that it's not only high search volume, but it's also two things. Number one, relevant.
Exactly.
Number two, it's a keyword that has a strong buying intent. So let me explain. So let's say a good example will be pen, right? There's so many different pens that somebody could search for. So let's say when you put in Amazon pen, it might be that there's no real product that the customer knows exactly what they're looking for. So let me explain. So if somebody, let's say, puts in a black pen bulb, right? That's definitely a product that's very relevant to your product. If you're selling a pen like this, 100 pen. But if they put in pen, it's not a real buying intent keyword. The customer puts in pen and then they will start searching a lot of different products and see which one they will buy. So usually a rule of thumb that we have is, we want that the keyword that you're targeting should have in brand analytics the the conversion share of the top three combined should be at least 30%. Okay, nice. That means that the top three clicked ASINs get at least 30% of the purchases. That usually means that, you know, at least 30% of the people buy the top three products. Exactly, which means it's a high buying intent product. But for example, when somebody lets them search Christmas gift, right? You won't have any listing that will have a decent conversion rate on that.
It's a huge spread.
It's a huge spread, exactly. So on those keywords, it's really hard to rank organically. So you want to make sure the conversion share for that keyword is at least 30% between the top three. Okay, that's one thing. And number two, you want to make sure that these top three ASINs are actually relevant to your product. So let me give another example. I have a cup over here, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say the word cup has a really high search volume, okay? Yeah. But let's say you're selling a paper cup, right? But you see that for paper cup, that when somebody searches cup, the first ASIN, the first clicked ASIN is, let's say, a plastic cup. The second clicked ASIN is maybe this Stanley mug, okay? Some cup. And the third is maybe a paper cup. So even for the word cup, it has high search volume, and the conversion share is maybe 30% between all three combined, but the actual, the products that have the conversion share is not actually the products that's relevant to your product, right? Because it's a different product. So you might go very aggressive on cup, but you will not convert well just because a big percent of the shoppers are not even looking for the type of product that you're selling. So as a rule of thumb, we like to see the top, at least two of the three click products should be the product that you're selling. So in our example, if we're selling a paper cup, we want that for the keyword cup, if the two of the top three click ASINs, if they're actually paper cup, then we'll go very aggressive with this keyword. We'll use it in the ranking campaign. But if that's not the case, then we'll usually stay away. Again, depending on how aggressive, you know, the seller wants to be, but we'll usually stay away. So you have to make sure that you're not only choosing keywords that have a high search volume, you're also choosing, number one, keywords that have a strong buying intent, and number two is keywords that are very relevant to your product and the customers searching for that keyword are actually looking for the type of product that you're selling. Okay, now we have the ranking keywords, and that's where most of the spend on most of the budget allocation will go to, right? Then we take all the other keywords, the long tail keywords, they will create a manual campaign, broad phrase and exact campaign. Again, we want to make sure that we target all of the keywords, and whenever any search term, anybody, any customer searches, we want to make sure that we're there. Then we'll usually create a programmatic campaign and an ASIN targeting campaign. We won't go too aggressive on order campaign, especially not at launch, because Amazon doesn't exactly know what the product is. It might go you know, really broad. So we have the ranking campaign, which is again the top, your top ranking keywords. I call it the make it or break it keywords. These keywords, if you rank organically, you'll have a successful launch. Then we have all the other long tail keywords into a broad phrase and exact campaign, ASIN targeting, and auto campaign. And again, usually we'll put a big chunk of the budget that they should go towards your top keywords, the ranking keywords. That's in a nutshell what our strategy is. Now, just one very important thing. We usually also take those top ranking keywords. We track them in Helium 10, right? We want to make sure that we start to rank organically on those keywords, right? And we monitor very closely the organic ranking while we go aggressive on these keywords. And if we see that a certain keyword gets momentum, we'll double down. If we see a certain keyword gets no movement, we'll also try to double down and see, you know, why don't we get any movement? Maybe we should go more aggressive. And we basically play around with this. And we make decisions based on how the organic ranking is performing. That's how we adjust our ranking campaigns.
Very nice. Very good strategy, and actually aligned to similar to what we do. And on top of that, actually what I wanted to add to this is that what we have found is that sometimes people, what they also struggle on top of the strategy is actually understanding what the KPIs they should be at certain stages of during this launch, because sometimes people don't know if they if being 100% equals is normal, 200%, 50%, etc. And you know, so all the different things that they might need to measure to actually understand how they're progressing besides organic ranking. So I guess my question to you is, like, do you feel during the launch phase, the real metric everybody should focus only is organic ranking, or you feel that also certain KPIs besides that are also important to keep an eye besides, you know, how you're getting rank? You
know? Okay, so it really depends what your goal is. So for example, I have certain clients that launch certain products and they want to be profitable right off the bat. They have either, let's say, unique products or expensive products, right? So it's hard to give a general rule. But let's talk in our case. I think we're talking about the typical Amazon product seller. They launch your product. They want to rank organically. They're willing to lose money in the beginning, right? So I believe the main KPI should be number one, organic ranking. Number two, conversion. You want to make sure that you have a decent conversion. So let's say if you sell a good product, let's say it's a $10 or $20 product, right? If your conversion is 2 or 3%, like you need to figure out right off the bat. Like I can see right off the bat if this launch will be successful. And if we see that the conversion rate is very low. Now, again, of course, we expect a low conversion rate lower to the market, right?
Exactly.
We have no reviews, but if we see that it's very, very low, that's where we'll get concerned. So you mentioned ACoS. Really, I wouldn't be concerned about ACoS, even if it's 200%. It doesn't matter what the ACoS is. If I see conversion, I know that, you know, this can be successful. If I don't see any conversion, that's where we'll need to start shifting strategy and see, okay, what can we do to improve conversion? Because this launch is not going to go too well.
Nice. And now during this launch phase, we know that most of the time it goes online during the honeymoon period. But from your experience, do you think realistically, after doing this hundreds of times for your clients, like have you identified like what is the timeline usually for this? Are we talking 1 month, talking 2 months? I know it's going to depend also on the product, but what is on average, you know, what a launch phase is going to last for?
Yeah. So if you're asking how long the honeymoon period is, I believe nobody knows, right?
Exactly.
And it's probably not so black or white. The idea is right off the bat, you need to have momentum. And usually once you have momentum and the momentum keeps on going, then you're in a good position. But to your product, how long is it considered a long phase, right? And let me also basically rephrase the question, right? How long do I still need to spend that aggressively?
Exactly.
How long do I still need to have an ACoS of 200%? When can I start slowing down, right? All these questions. So I have two main pointers that I look at. Number one is if your product is let's say you launch a product, you have a goal, like you want to have a BSR, a bestseller rank of, let's say, 2,000, or even let's say 5,000, right? If you're constantly moving towards that goal, you have the momentum, and your BSR goes from 100,000, it's 50,000, then it's already 40,000, 30. You keep on moving towards your goal, you have the momentum, and around 50% of your sales already come from organic, that's when I say, okay, we can start to pull back a little bit.
Nice.
And we can start, you know, focusing a little bit more on ACoS, on profit, on tacos, and not spend that much, okay? But if, let's say, your goal was to hit, a 5,000 BSR, and you're still at 70, 80,000.
Long way to go.
Exactly. I have a long way to go, and you still need to give as much gas as possible, go aggressive with PPC to reach that goal. Or let's say you're reaching your goal, but 90% of your sales still come from PPC. That's also another time to start taking PPC away because you'll lose the momentum. So that's, again, it's not so black and white, but the benchmark that we have, number one, you're getting closer to your goal. You have the momentum going that keeps on becoming better and better. And 50% of your sales already come from organic. That's when you can say, okay, let's start pulling back a little bit on the PPC.
That's awesome, Isaac. So it's been such an amazing, you know, episode, and you're aligning everything so easily. I'm sure people are going to find it so, you know, actionable, like going the type of campaigns that you mentioned. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. And I would say, like, to finish off, like, is there any other maybe tip or maybe mistake you would advise people to avoid when doing the launch phase that you would like to share before we conclude?
During the launch phase? One of the mistakes that I see is people get afraid too quickly. They see that, okay, my ACoS is so high, my tacos are so high, let me start moving back. Let me start pulling back. Again, it used to be easier to rank organically on Amazon. It's definitely harder today, okay? So it definitely takes more time to start ranking organically. So again, if you see that your launch goes in the right direction, you're converting, your organic ranking starts to become better. Your BSR starts to become better. Don't make the mistake and fall for the short-term profit and start, you know, pulling the plug. Make sure you do it in a very smart and calculated way.
Thank you. That's amazing tip. Very good closure. So now, in case I'm sure some people might want to reach out, so you can have them during this launch phase of PPC or related. So how people can find you?
Yeah. Sure. So people can find me on my website, igppc.com. Mm-hmm. Nice. They can email me, Isaac, I-S-A-A-C, at igppc.com. They can also find me on LinkedIn. I post a lot of Amazon PPC content.
Yeah,
for sure. I try to be very active there. So make sure to follow me. And then I have a special offer for your audience. Okay?
Nice. Yes. Yeah,
so we do really, really nice comprehensive audits on your PPC. And it's completely free. There's no obligation to sign up with us. We're going to charge for that. So for anyone that wants to see how their PPC is performing, wants to get free insights, just go to our website and reach out to me for a free audit, and we'll send you a really nice, detailed, comprehensive audit on your PPC with actionable insights.
Thank you, Isaac. So that's amazing. I'm going to make sure to put all the listeners and the ones watching the link down in the description. And awesome. In the meantime, I appreciate your time and looking forward to see you soon at Prosper. So,
yes, looking forward likewise. To thank
a
you
pleasure,
so much.
Yeah?
It's been a pleasure.
Take care, bro. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by EcomC. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomc.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomc.